Please turn in your Bibles now, if you would, to the 24th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 24, and we'll read verses 15 through 24. Hear God's word. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow. But you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. Groan silently, make no mourning for the dead. Bind on your turban, and put your shoes on your feet, and do not cover your mustache, and do not eat the bread of men. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. And in the morning I did as I was commanded. The people said to me, Will you not tell us what are these things that you are doing mean for us? Then I said to them, The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul. And your sons and your daughters, whom you have left behind, will fall by the sword. You will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache. You will not eat the bread of men. Your turbans will be on your heads and your shoes on your feet. You will not mourn and you will not weep, but you will rot away in your iniquities and you will groan to one another. Thus Ezekiel will be a sign to you according to all that he has done, you will do. When it comes, then you will know that I am the Lord God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful again for your grace. We thank you for the privilege of worship. We thank you that you put us in the midst of your people. And we thank you that there you are pleased to meet with us. And we thank you that in such a circumstance, we are privileged not only to sing and to pray, but to look into your word. And so we pray now that you'd be pleased to bless us with your grace, that you would come to us and apply to our hearts your word given to us by this prophet of old. We pray in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen. The picture on the web page was that of folks standing before the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, as it has come to be known, in Jerusalem. Perhaps you've seen pictures like this. This was a color photograph. In the middle, there was a man with a yellow shirt. And the caption on the picture read like this. The guy in the bright yellow shirt is my buddy, Pastor Steve Hayes. We both had quite an experience at the wall and felt the presence of God there. This was a spot very important to me. I got to know the Lord in a new way that day. As we'll see, this Western Wall, or Wailing Wall, as it has come to be known, is the delight of the eyes of many Jewish people. And as is the case with this Christian, it appears it was the delight of his eyes and the delight of the eyes of his pastor also. I submit to you that that's rather unfortunate, because even the remains of the temple are not to be the delight of the eyes of the Christian, but rather Jesus Christ is to be the delight of your eyes. And this is the point to which the text in Ezekiel takes you and me. That when God in His providence took away the delight of the eyes of the Jews, that is their temple, He sets before you and me Jesus Christ, and you are to make Him your delight. He is to be your delight. He is the one, really, that replaces this temple of old. And so this is the point that I want you to get this morning. That when God replaces the temple, that is, He takes away the delight of the Jewish eye, the temple, He sets before you Jesus Christ. And friends, make Him your delight. When we enter our text in Ezekiel chapter 24, which gives us this lesson, we see that God in His providence has also made Ezekiel a sign for the people in Israel. And I can hardly imagine this to be the case, that Ezekiel, or that God, I should say, would take the delight of my eyes, that is, my wife or one of my children, that He would take them away, or take one of them away, as an object lesson for the church. And this is exactly what God is doing with Ezekiel. Look at verses 15 and 16 with me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow. But you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. As I say, I can hardly imagine God taking my wife away from me as an object lesson for the church. I would probably say, time out, Lord. I'm not here for this. But Ezekiel walked through this valley. And Ezekiel was called for this purpose. In the modern day, a scenario might be like this. That a group of people comes out of a liberal situation and forms a congregation. Maybe some of you would be familiar with this kind of a tale. And after they have formed the congregation, they call you as their pastor. And after you work in the midst of these people for a while and teach them God's Word, you discover, much to your chagrin, that these people do not really want to follow your teaching and are not really interested in what you have to say from the Word of God. This would be Ezekiel's position. But rather, these people kind of like the church that they have brought together, and they want to do it their way. And that church has become the desire of their eyes, as it were, the delight of their life. And so God comes along and says to you, as the pastor, I'm going to teach them a lesson. And the way I'm going to teach this lesson to them is I'm going to take away the delight of your eyes as an object lesson. And this is exactly what is taking place with Ezekiel. Remember the general context here now. Look back at verses 1 and 2 in chapter 24. The word of the Lord came to me in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth of the month, saying, Son of man, write the names of the day, this very day, the king of Babylon has laid siege to Jerusalem this very day. And you remember, do you not, that Ezekiel has already been taken into captivity and he is in Babylon. And the people who are in captivity already are expecting that God will deliver the city of Jerusalem. But now the word comes from Jerusalem that the city has been put under siege by Nebuchadnezzar. And so now, God is saying in a very particular way to the people who are in exile that the city will fall and the delight of your eyes is going to be taken away. And so the object lesson is this, that just like the delight of Ezekiel's eyes, his wife is being taken away from him, so the delight of the eyes of the Jewish people, that is their city, their temple, is being taken away from them. Look at verse 21. Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left behind will fall by the sword. Yes, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, the city of God, as it was called, the delight of the eyes of every Jewish person, and the delight of the eyes of some Christians even today. To get the idea of what the prophet Ezekiel is telling us here, let's go back to the wall, that western wall. That western wall was a retaining wall that had been built in the days of Herod. And above that western wall and above that retaining wall that was above that retaining wall, the temple was built. And the temple faced east. And so you would come in, the temple would face east, and you would enter from this direction. And when you entered the temple, you would come to the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies was the table of showbread and the candelabra and the altar of incense. And then from the Holy of Holies, you would enter the most holy place in which resided the Ark of the Covenant. And you remember from the Old Testament especially that the Shekinah glory of God would come and hover over that holy place. Thus the significance of the Western Wall. The Western Wall was right over the brow of the hill, as it were, where the Holy of Holies was located. And the Jewish people today, some Jewish people today, believe that this is still the resident place of the dwelling of God, that this is the permanent dwelling place of God. And so when the Jewish people come to this western wall, this is the closest they can come to the dwelling place of God. And so it has become a very special place for them, that western wall, because it's so close, it's right on top of, it's right next to, as it were, the very presence of God in this world, so the Jewish people say. And so it has become the delight of their eyes, as the text tells us. We see this with the disciples of Jesus also, do we not? You remember when the disciples of Jesus by the temple pointed up to the temple and said to Jesus, look, look how beautiful it is. Look how great it is. And it was the delight of their eyes. And Jesus said to them, oh, the time is going to come when one stone will not stand upon another. This temple will be destroyed. And so like Ezekiel's wife was taken away from him, the delight of his eyes, the temple, Ezekiel was saying to these Jewish people, was going to be taken away from them, the delight of their eyes. And they would not mourn. At least Ezekiel calls them not to mourn. Look again at verses 16 and 17. Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow. But you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. Groan silently. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind on your turban and put on your shoes on your feet. And do not cover your mustache and do not eat the bread of men. You are not to mourn, Ezekiel, when your dear wife is taken away from you. And that suddenly. You are not to bind the turban on your head. You are to take off your headgear and throw dust on your head. No. That would be the way the people would mourn. No, you're to keep your turban on your head. You're not to go barefoot. The way the people in that day would mourn is they would kick off their sandals and walk in the dust and throw dust over their heads. And when the people come after the funeral service and bring you food, you're not to touch the food. You're not to take of that food. You're not to mourn. God said to Ezekiel. And the New American Standard Version says, you are not to cover your mustache. The English Standard Version says, you're not to cover your lip. That is, you're not to put something over your face as one who is in mourning. No, you're not to mourn. And the people, when they see the city of Jerusalem fall and get that word, they too are not to mourn. Look at verses 21 and following again. Speak to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left behind will fall by the sword. You will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache. You will not eat the bread of men. Your turbans will be on your heads and your shoes on your feet. You will not mourn and you will not weep. But you will rot away in your iniquities and you will groan to one another. No, people, when you see the city has fallen, you will not mourn, even though the delight of your eyes has been taken away. Why? Look at verse 23 again. You will not mourn and you will not weep, but you will rot away in your iniquities and you will groan to one another. You will realize that the hand of God's judgment is against the city because of your sins. You are already in exile, Ezekiel is saying to those men and women and young people and children. And more will come. Others will come and they will join you. And you will rot away in exile because you have profaned the sanctuary of the Lord. And you have used it in unseemly ways. You have even brought idolatrous worship into the confines of the temple. And because of your sin, you will rot away in exile. This is not a happy message. I want you to note now that a similar thing occurs during the time of Jesus. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew? Chapter 21. In Matthew 21, we have the story, as has been read, of the triumphal entry. And after Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem with the singing of Psalm 118, Hosanna to the Son of David, Jesus goes into the temple. And verse 12 reads in Matthew 21, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. Jesus not only goes into the temple and throws over the tables of those who are buying and selling. You can imagine a great garage sale and someone going in and just beginning to tip over all the tables. And then he chases out the animals. And he rebukes those who are there. My house shall be called a house of prayer, he says. And then he adds, but you are making it a robber's den. You are acting like a bunch of robbers. You are stealing the glory from God, and you are acting like a bunch of robbers who, when they commit their crimes, come back into their cave and think they are safe in that situation. And you are using the temple as a place to come after you have committed your sins, and you are committing your sins even in this place. And you think you are safe here. No, no. And the cleansing of the temple, as it is called, is not simply just a cleansing, but it is a condemnation of the work of the Jews among the people of God in the temple. This is in part what is so significant. And what takes place here precipitates the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. The scribes and the Pharisees begin to look for a way to take him and get him out of the way. That happened on the first day of the week. Monday passes and Tuesday comes. Chapter 23 in the Gospel of Matthew. Verses 37 and following. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. And Jesus Christ, the King of glory, walks away from the temple with this pronouncement. Behold, your house, as Ezekiel puts it, the delight of your eyes, your house is now being left to you desolate. And then on the Friday of that same week, Matthew chapter 27 and verses 50 and 51. Jesus is now on the cross. And verse 50 says, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And verse 51 says, and behold, The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The veil between the holy place and the most holy place, split in two, rent asunder from top to bottom, as if God, reaching down out of heaven, takes that veil in His hands and tears it apart. And at the death of Jesus Christ, the temple, friends, the temple is rendered obsolete, because Jesus Christ, in His death, performs the sacrifice, which is the final and only sacrifice adequate to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. And so the temple, as I say, is rendered obsolete. Would you look at one more New Testament passage with me? In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 4 and following. Here is a quotation from the 40th Psalm by the writer to the Hebrews and an explanation of this Psalm. Verse 4 in Hebrews chapter 10. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is, the sacrifices in the temple. It was impossible for them to actually take away sins. They pointed to Jesus Christ. Verse 5, therefore, when He comes, that is, Jesus, into the world, He says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Now comes a little interpretation, a little explanation in verse 8. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings, and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law, then He said to them, behold, I have come to do your will. Jesus Christ came into the world to do the will of the Father. And what was that will? To die on a cross. To die on a cross. You see, all those Old Testament sacrifices prepared for that death on the cross and look forward to that death on the cross. Verse 9 again. Then He said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. He takes away the temple and all of its sacrifices. For what purpose? To establish the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the preeminent sacrifice, as the once-for-all sacrifice, as the sacrifice that takes away your sins and my sins. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. And so in the end, friends, it was necessary for that temple in Jerusalem to be destroyed. It was necessary because the taking away of that temple in Jerusalem establishes Jesus Christ and His sacrifice as the final sacrifice for your sins and mine. With this in mind, please return with me to Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel's life was to be a sign to the exiles. Look with me at verses 18 and 19 in Ezekiel 24. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. And in the morning I did as I was commanded. Ezekiel did not shrink from his task. You can imagine that the people would have been astounded. And they would have been in amazement and perhaps in shock watching Ezekiel. And so in verse 19 you have this question. The people said to me, "Will you not tell us what these things mean that you are doing? What they mean for us?" Yes, the people wanted to know. Ezekiel was a prophet, and what transpired in his life had significance. They wanted to know the meaning of this death of his wife and his lack of mourning. And they not only wanted to know the meaning, but notice what the text says in verse 19. "Will you not tell us what these things mean that you are doing mean for us?" What they mean for us, it was not just some theoretical thing that Ezekiel was doing. It was not just something theoretical out there that they might look at and say, "Oh, that's nice." Like you go into an art museum and you say of the pictures, "Oh, they're interesting." No, they wanted to know, what does this mean for us? This was personal. Verse 24. "Thus Ezekiel will be a sign for you. According to all that he has done, you will do. When it comes, then you will know that I am the Lord." Yes, Ezekiel is a sign, and his life is a sign. And when all these things come to pass, that is, when you know the temple has been destroyed, you will think about Ezekiel and what he has done. And not only so, you will know that the Lord, He is God. And in the end, that is where this passage is pointing. That the people should know that the Lord, He is God. That He is the one to whom worship and obedience and love and honor are due, that He is the Lord God. And as I say, it is striking that we have the same circumstance as you flash forward. You have the same circumstance in the New Testament. That when the temple is destroyed, what is the purpose of that destruction? That you should know, friends, that you should know, and that you should know that Jesus Christ is the Lord who died on that cross to pay the penalty due to your sins. And so there's the lesson, you see, that when God takes away the temple, the delight of Jewish eyes, He sets before you Jesus Christ, who is to be the delight of your eyes. Is He? Is He? You know, it's a fascinating thing, friends. It's a fascinating thing that even Christians will go to the Western Wall, that Wailing Wall, and say, "I met the Lord there in a way that I've never met Him before, in that place." Where Jesus said to the woman at the well, when she queried him about the place of worship, neither in Gerizim, the mountain of the Samaritans, nor in Jerusalem will you worship. But the hour is coming where true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And it's not the Wailing Wall, it's not the Western Wall that is the sacred place, friends. It is this place right here, right now, where God has pledged to meet with you, His people. This is the New Testament temple. This is the place of God's dwelling. And God has pledged to meet you and me here in this place. And isn't it a curiosity, friends, that there are those who desire to see that ancient temple rebuilt. And honest, earnest Christians are saying that temple ought to be rebuilt. And they rather relish the fact that they think that temple is to be rebuilt. And there is a sense in which that temple wrongly, I submit to you, is the delight of their eyes, as it was the delight of the eyes of the ancient Jew, and so often is the delight of the eyes of the modern Jew. No, friends. The destruction of the temple, the taking away of that temple, the delight of Jewish eyes, is replaced by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. And He is to be the delight of your eyes. Come to Him. Worship Him. Bow before Him. Confess your sins before Him. He is the Lord God. He is King of Kings. And when God took away the temple, the delight of Jewish eyes, He set before you Jesus Christ. Delight in Him. Let's pray together. Father, how easily it comes to pass that we have misplaced allegiances, and that we delight in the wrong things. Forgive us. Cleanse us. And as we journey through this week, grant that You would place on our hearts not a delight in an ancient piece of architecture, but rather a delight in Your Son, Jesus Christ, whom You have been pleased to give to us as the only remedy for our sins. Grant that each one of us would deeply, fully, lovingly find Jesus as the delight of our eyes. Hear us, we pray, in His good name. Amen.